All right. Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to see you. You probably heard me talking a little bit before. Training some new people. I've got Kevin back here in the booth with me this evening, and he's actually going to be standing in for me next week for the Bible study time. I'm hoping that I'm here to do the prayer time, but when we get to our prayer request later on, Dad's going to be having a test. I'll give you a little bit more on that, but my dad's going to be having some tests done on Wednesday, and there's a possibility that with what's going on, I may need to stay with him, but we'll just wait and see where that bridge takes us, right? So, once again, format for this evening is once we get started, we're going to start with prayer, and then I'm going to give you a little Bible study on Tozer as far as what he has to say about prayer. And tonight's is titled, A Word to the Men About the Women. However, we're going to expand that a little bit because, we'll get into that because I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. All right? And anyway, once we get through the study, then we will go to our time of prayer requests. So hope you all are doing well. There are some of you all that are watching on Jason's Facebook page. If that's the case, Kevin's going to be back there monitoring that page to see if there are any prayer requests that are going to come through on that page. I've got mine on the Fairlawn Baptist page, so we're trying to keep an eye on both of them so that hopefully we can get everyone and their prayer requests down. All right? So let's go ahead. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into the study tonight. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for the beautiful weather today. And Father, just the time that we could, if we were able to spend outside and enjoy that and get stuff done. But Father, we just thank you so much for what you provide for us. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we take a look at what you have to say about prayer, Father, help us to know what a serious thing this is in a church. And Father, how it is really the very life breath of the church. And depending on how strong our prayer life is, that will depend on how that our strength as a church will depend on that. And Father, I just pray that you would just be with us through this evening. Father, just use me, keep my heart and mind open to your Spirit this evening. And Father, that I would say words that would glorify you. Father, once again, we just thank you for the night and the time that we can spend together. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. So, a word to the men about the women. Let's go ahead. We'll dig into this, and you'll see what I mean here a little bit later on, what's going to happen with this thing. So anyway, prayer is something that cannot only be allocated to one group in the church. Prayer is everyone's responsibility. It is just not one group. If we've got a prayer ministry in this church, understand it is not that ministry's responsibility to take over for prayer for everybody. It just because if we would have that ministry here at the church doesn't excuse you from not having your own prayer life and being involved in that. So understand that everyone is responsible for praying. As the strength of everyone's prayer life within the church is, so is the strength of the church. And I sort of threw that in with my prayer. And this is for everyone, folks. Think about this, okay? When I say this is for everyone, I'm saying it's not just for adults either. A lot of times, and I've heard Julie talk to me before about the kids back in Pray Station and all that, and when they ask for a prayer request, and it's something that's very near and dear to them, their prayer is offered at such a level that they believe that God is going to do something. Why? They don't have the skepticism or the cynicism that we gain as adults. And so a lot of times a child's prayer will be offered at their level and their understanding of God and what he's going to do. And because of where they're at in their lives and their experiences and all that, they believe something is going to happen. You know, think about how Christ talked about the children and letting them come to him and all that. And he says that's the way we really ought to approach him as well. We ought to have the faith of a child. A lot of times, like I just said, as adults, with the experiences that we have had, we sometimes will just say, oh, that's not going to happen. And we lack the faith in our prayer that God is going to act. But kids most of the time will react in a way that they really believe that God's going to answer their prayer for them. And therefore, a lot of times, I think we could really take a lot of lessons from children as far as the strength in our prayer lives. We must watch ourselves and make sure that we don't make the women of the church our prayer warriors while the men try to run the church. Now, what this is saying is that, you know, we don't need to let the ladies take on prayer while we men try to make the decisions of the church and we don't pay attention to prayer. That really needs not happen. If we truly believe what the Bible tells us about prayer and its importance, then those who are in leadership should be some of our strongest prayer warriors. Only then can they truly follow God's leadership for our church. If you think about it, if we want our church to follow God's will and we've got certain people in leadership and they don't have a strong prayer life, then how are they going to follow God's will for their ministry? They need to have a strong prayer life. Anyone that is involved in a ministry should have a very, very strong prayer life. Leadership should be determined by spiritual worth, not man's worth. And I think this is a lot of times where churches will get in trouble. We find somebody that's willing to take on a ministry, and we just plug them in. Great. We have found someone that is willing to take over that ministry. Bam, it's yours. And, you know, what? Did we ask any questions about, you know, what's your prayer life like? You know, what do you feel God is leading you to do in this ministry? We need to ask those questions. We just don't need to plug people in. And that's what happens a lot of times. And therefore, we see ministries that might flounder. We see ministries that might go another way. We see ministries that just aren't reaching the potential that they should. And it possibly could be that the leaders or that the prayer life of the leadership, and we'll throw in the group too, may not be where it should be. The true vision of the church can only come from hours spent in prayer on God's direction for his church. You know, one of the biggest things that I think that we do, we want to say that this church is our church. And we literally want to take ownership of it. When we do that, we've got a misconception of whose church it really is. This is really God's church. We are here to do his service. It is up to us to seek his will through prayer and through other things, which we're going to get to here in just a little bit. But we need to make for sure that we don't have that concept in our heads that we own this church. Folks, if God's got another plan for our church, he can change it in a heartbeat. And we need to be aware of that. We need to make for sure that we've got all this in right focus. We need to determine leadership of the church by searching for those with proper spiritual qualifications so they not only lead their ministry effectively, but that their ministry falls within the mission of the church. Now think about that. If we've got someone who's leading a ministry in the church and their ministry doesn't follow the mission of the church, then there's something out of balance there with that. All of the ministries that we have here at Fairlawn Baptist Church should fall within the mission of the church and what we're trying to accomplish. If we've got a ministry that's going rogue, then you know we need to take a look at that. Now listen, in this, I'm not saying that we only need to just take a look at who has the spiritual qualifications and all that. This is not a call for us to abdicate to all those who pray, but a challenge to those who don't, and raise the level of the spirituality of the leadership within our church. Don't think what I'm saying, well, I'm not a great prayer warrior, so I just need not take leadership. I'll just follow someone else's lead. No. That is not what I am saying. What I am saying is that we all need to take a look at our prayer lives, and we all need to take a look at what we need to do and how we can pray more effectively and how we can pray more powerfully and how we can do that to help lead our church in the way that God wants it to go. Folks, when we do that, if everyone would buy into that, we wouldn't have to pray for a revival, because a revival would be happening. Okay? It would be here among us if we all would do that. Now, when Tozer was writing this, because you're going to take a look at it and you're going to say, well, Rick, you're just talking about the women and the men doing this and all that. Well, when Tozer wrote this, that was a trend that he was seeing happening within the church at the time. Okay, so the women were spending a good amount of time in prayer while the men were trying to lead things without praying and just doing their own thing. You've got to remember when Tozer was leading that that women really didn't have much of a role in the church at that point. The men were the leadership and all that. We have ladies who lead in ministries and all that now. So we're going to take a look at this with everyone in mind right now for our time. Because if we take a look at the trend in churches when it comes to prayer, what would you see now? What would we see? Would it just be the men who aren't praying? Would it be the ladies? Listen, I can tell you that I have people, and I contacted these folks when we got the diagnosis on Dad, and I said, I need you to start praying for this. These are people that I know who are prayer warriors and that I will go to. And they're mine. They're the ones that I go to. However, I know that there are more within our church other than the ones I contacted. However, wouldn't it be great if we all could have that label? But what would we see now? Would we see that it's no longer just the men who aren't praying? Or would we see that it's church-wide now? That we spend very little time in prayer talking with God? I'm afraid that that's what we'd see, that there is more of, it's more of a whole church issue. And that would include men, women, and children. Our children are going to learn the importance of prayer by what they see demonstrated in the house, not the church. If they only see it in church, then they will only see it as something leaders do and not every member of the church does. Do you get that? Right now, we're doing family worship. Right now, we're all in here together and all that. They see Jason and I up here praying. And the deacon of the week, praying at the end of the service. That's it. If they're back in PrayStation, I imagine they see my wife Julie praying. I imagine they see Ben and some of the other leaders praying within that ministry. If they don't see prayer in the context of the home, then they think it is something that only happens within the church building. We have got to start making prayer more of a priority in our homes. And I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about God bless this food. I'm talking that kids need to really see a prayer life from mom and dad so that they can see what that can do in their lives and what it means to mom and dad in their lives as well. If that's something that you don't demonstrate to your kids or show your kids, you might want to think about maybe making that part of your family routine so that they can see that and they can see how important it is to you. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Romans 12:12. To build our faith, we need the following things. The first thing that we need is the Word of God. We need the Word of God to be able to listen to Him. Folks, that is the main source that we have to listen to God. Now, God will use friends in our lives and all that who are godly. He will use circumstances and all that. But if you want to get where God can really get down and really get to the nitty-gritty with you, it's going to come from His Word. And we need that Word so that we are able to listen to Him. We need to be obedient to the Word with the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? This is a righteous doing before God. In other words, we pray for God to reveal something to us when we're taking at the Word of God to listen to what He is telling us. Now, the obedience to that Word, actually doing what He has shown us to do, that's the righteous doing. That's following through what God has revealed to you. And then prayer to God, a daily conversation with God. We've talked about this before. A conversation is not something that is one-sided. It is something where two people are involved conversing with each other. So we're talking to God, we're digging into His Word, and we're trying to find out what He's saying to us. Once again, mainly through His Word, but He can use anything that He wants to talk to us. All right? We're all exhorted to pray. Not just a few Christians, not just the ones who can put the pretty flowery words in their prayer, not the ones that still use the these and the thous. Everyone is exhorted to pray. The Christian family is exhorted to pray. These prayers have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and grounded in the Word of God. We have talked about that before as well. Paul reminds us of the spiritual battle going on around us. We're going to take a look at a couple more scripture. 1 Ephesians 6:10-11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full or the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And we're going to jump, same chapter, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. What's that trying to tell us? Tozer is wanting us to look at the world as a spiritual battleground and not man's playground. We should look at what is going on in the world today and we should realize that there is a spiritual warfare going on. If we take a look at what we can get out of the world and look at it as my playground and what I can do and all the stuff that I'm going to have fun with doing and all that, folks, we are missing the calling that God has us. There is a spiritual, folks, there's a spiritual battle going on right now as I'm presenting this to you. Let that sink in. There are things going on right now that Satan is using, trying to keep you from hearing what his Spirit is hopefully saying to you through what I'm presenting tonight. That is a spiritual battleground, and it's happening, whether we want to admit it or not. If we look at the world wrongly, we will end up enjoying our time here like those who have not encountered the saving grace of our Savior. Folks, as Christians, we are called to be different. If I or if somebody goes into your house and they see no difference from how you live than your neighbor who is not a Christian, then there's something wrong. And so we need to take a look at ourselves and see and make for sure that we're living a life that makes us different than the people around us. People are going to look for that. When we are children of God, we are called to be different. See, I just told you that. People should see our faith in the lives we live, in the way we interact with our fellow Christians, as well as with the rest of the world. Now, right there, I want to get to that one right there. Folks, if they don't see a difference in the way that we treat each other, why would they want to come here? We as Christians need to treat each other with patience and with kindness and with grace. We need to make sure that we are treating each other differently, because if not, then once again, we are not creating the atmosphere that somebody would want to come and be here and find out the difference that God has made in our lives. Like it or not, as a Christian, the world will hold you to a different standard. There it is. The world is going to hold you to a different standard because you say that you're a Christian. Not fair? No. Are we always going to be perfect? No. When we're not perfect, what do we do with it? When I hurt someone, how do I handle that? When I do a misstep, how do I handle that? When, think about it. We need to make for sure that when we're doing those things, that we handle them correctly. This is Rick, right here. If we continue with the current trends, leadership within the church of men and women who spend little time in prayer and leading by their own strength, the death of the church as we have come to know it is inevitable. We have got to get back to prayer. We have got to get back to studying God's word more than just the hour that we do in service each Sunday. We have got to get back. There used to be a song by For Him called The Basics of Life. We have got to get back to those basics. We have got to start paying more attention to what God wants us to do and getting back to those basics of digging into His Word, of spending time in prayer, of following the will of God, of putting people in leadership positions within the church who are people of prayer. And if they're not, challenging them to become those people so that we can have a vast array of spiritual warriors here within our church that go to battle each and every day for the people here in the church, for the people who need intercessory prayer, for the ones who find themselves in the middle of a spiritual battle, who are being attacked. That's what we need. And folks, that's going to, it's huge if the church is going to continue on past this generation and the next. Acts 6:3. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom and of wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this duty. Now, I know that this is talking about deacons. This is where you see the role of the deacon coming in. There was so much going on, and the ones who were preaching were trying to take care of matters within the church, and it was taking from their time being prepared to preach God's message to the people. So they came up with the office of deacon. However, you could also take a look at this as leadership within the church as well. And if that's where the bar was, then maybe that's where we should have it as well. There it is. If this was the standard set by God's word, should we expect any less of those who take on leadership roles in the church today? This following, the next thing I'm going to read to you is a comment from Ian Bounds on prayer. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer, the Holy Ghost does not follow through methods or does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. Now, once again, when this was written, men were the leadership of the church. So if you replace that with people, but people whom the Holy Spirit can use, people of prayer, people mighty in prayer, the Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through people. He does not anoint plans, but people, people of prayer. Folks, right there is a huge, huge statement. Sadly, a lot of times we are looking for new methods, new plans, new, I'm going to call them schemes, new witnessing methods, more than we are looking to prayer and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We are wanting a McDonald's version of our faith rather than spending time with God in His Word and in prayer so that the Holy Spirit can lead us. We want action now. We don't want to take that. Folks, think about this. Some of the things that you have worked the hardest for, and I think we talked about this last week, some of the things that you have worked hardest for took the greatest amount of time to attain. Or it's something that you appreciate more because it took time to get there. It's the same thing here. We don't need any more witnessing methods. There are so many. We need people who are willing to go out and to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide them when they are witnessing. We don't need any new plans. There are a ton of them. We need people who are willing to follow through. We need people who are willing to step from the pew and say, I can do this under the leadership of the Holy Spirit in much prayer. When we get to that, things are going to change. So how do we change this trend? Not only within the leadership of the church, but also within the membership of our churches. 1 Peter 5, 6 tells us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He may exalt you. If we do that, this will help us to adopt the ways of God and submit to His priorities, not only for the church, but in our lives as well. This way, we will prove to be the light and salt of the earth. Think about how much difference light can make in a dark room. Many years ago, I got the opportunity to, when I was in college, Mom and Dad don't have a heart attack. But when I was in college, I had some friends that knew where a cave was close to Elkins, and we went back into that cave. We knew where it was safe, but one of the things that we did was we turned off our flashlights. Your eyes could not adjust to the darkness to be able to see your hand in front of your face. How much difference did that flashlight make in us being able to get out when we turned them back on? Salt of the earth. Has anybody ever tried to eat? There is one vegetable that I've eaten that has to have some sort of seasoning, and that's green beans. When I was living on my own, Mom had cooked everything with salt and pepper and all that, and I thought, I'm going to try to go without and see what I like. I tried everything, and everything was okay without salt and pepper. I tried green beans for the first time without it, and I thought, oh my word, they're horrible. Now, if you like green beans without anything, more power to you. But I got to have something on them. I got to have salt. Right now, we use what's called liquid smoke. Julie, my wife, puts some olive oil in it, you know, whatever. But they've got to have some sort of flavoring within them. She puts chicken bouillon cubes in it as well. So she fixed some killer green beans, all right? But what a difference that salt made. Have you ever accidentally, we did a mission trip one year to Edisto Beach. Edisto Beach does not have a pure water system. The water system that runs through their faucets and all that has some salt in it. I'll never forget the time because I was in the habit. I was brushing my teeth and I went to rinse and I grabbed my hands underneath the water and grabbed it and threw it in my mouth and thought, holy mackerel, what have I just done? The difference that salt makes. Salt makes a huge difference. And that's what we're supposed to do. We are to be the light in the darkness. We are to be the salt of the earth and make a difference. We are called to be different as Christians. Let's make it. Let's make it so. Let's do it. We can do it together.